Going to the book of 2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 1. And we're going to start off by reading the first five verses. So if you have your Bible with you or you want to follow with us on the screens there, we're going to go ahead and get started here. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. All right. Brother Russell, would you ask the blessing upon this word, please?
Heavenly Father, once again we come before you, Lord. And Lord, as we're studying your word, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to give us the wisdom and the understanding that comes from you, Lord. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, we give you the praise and all of the glory in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. So what we're going to be looking at here as we start this letter, Paul is going to be sharing about the many trials that he experienced and a lot of the suffering that he had to endure. And I know that this is a subject that's very difficult for people. The subject of human suffering is just not easy for us to understand. You know, it's hard for us to grasp that there are certain mysteries about this that truthfully we won't even know or understand until we get to heaven. And sometimes it's true, though, that we suffer because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we even suffer because of our sin and rebellion, as we see with Jonah. He just didn't do what God told him to do. And God had to bring him to a place of suffering to get him to change his direction. Amen? And sometimes we suffer to keep us from sinning, just as was the case with Paul. Remember, he was afflicted in his flesh. And the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you. What I think that we're going to be looking at more than anything today is, well, we're going to be looking at suffering. I think that I want to focus on the grace that's spoken of here. And, of course, grace, we know if you were to interpret the word from the Greek, it's God's favor. But it only doesn't only mean God's favor. It means God's help. God's help, and that's what we're going to look at. Suffering can also perfect our character to help us develop the character of God in our lives. You know, and of course, you know, we don't sometimes think about the fact that we are called to a higher calling than just simply getting our foot on the foundation. We're called to walk like Jesus Christ. We don't like to suffer, do we? Nobody wants to suffer. We all want to be on the mountaintop. But sometimes it is that suffering, it's the only way that God can get our attention. And we cry out, God, and we say, why? Why, God? Why? Why is this happening to me? And sometimes we feel like we're all alone in our sufferings. Well, Peter spoke a little bit about that. In 1 Peter 4, verse 12 through 6, he said, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange things happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, and here it gets down to the crux of what he's talking about here, is suffering for your faith, being made fun of, mocked, and sometimes it means even taking a beating if that's the case, and some people even to the point of death. Blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he has blasphemed, but on your part he has glorified. But he goes on to say, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody in other people's matters. Matter of fact, another scripture says, if that's the case, you might as well just bear with it, deal with it. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. John F. Kennedy wrote a book years ago that he titled Profiles in Courage. And in this book, he wrote, great crisis produces great men and great deeds of courage. And I believe that is true. You know, Christ does help a person become a better person sometimes. It can reveal what a person's really made of. But sometimes crisis can also reveal what a person isn't made of. You know, that they're not all that they should be. As case in point with Pilate. Pilate faced a great crisis there. He didn't want to crucify Jesus. But again, he chose to please men rather than God. And his handling of this crisis certainly didn't give him courage and didn't give him greatness, did it? You see, our faith sometimes has to be tested, and a faith that can't be tested really isn't a faith at all. I like what Warren Wiersbe said on this subject. He said, how we handle the difficulties of life will depend largely on what kind of character we have. For what life does to us depends on what life finds in us. We should never, ever, as believers, be tempted to believe the lies of the devil. When he comes to you and he says, if you weren't a Christian, you wouldn't be going through all these trials and tribulations and sufferings. Truth is, we all go through suffering, all mankind, believers and unbelievers alike. Again, I would point you to Matthew 5, verse 43 through 45, what the Lord himself said. He said, you have heard it that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and upon the unjust. The difference is that you have a help. You've got somebody who's walk alongside you to help you through all the difficulties and sufferings of life. And so Paul said, learning how to deal with these difficult things, all the sufferings that we go through in life, it can help us minister to other people who are going through those things. And sometimes that's why it happens. There's a brother by the name of Jerry Shirley who said, Christianity is just a theory to many people, a mere profession. It's a garment to be put on for special occasions and worn lightly. It's a stagnant ritual. It's an empty vocabulary. But the proof of true Christianity is how it's walked out in shoe leather. And Paul, it wasn't just a theory to him. He knew that he had a calling in his life to be a comforter, to be a help to other people. Now, the word comforter, same word used for the Holy Spirit, paracleto. And it simply means one who walks alongside. Brother Horton used to tell a story about trying to explain to some native tribes about the Holy Spirit. And they finally understood when they said, oh, that's like the one who walks alongside and falls down beside you. In other words, when they were out in the wilderness, if somebody got sick or was injured, somebody would stay with them and be with them to help them to get well. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Remember Jesus said in John 14, 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And he has come to us in the person of his Holy Spirit. In John 16, verse 5 through 14, kind of describes what he will do. It says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. You see, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and strengthens us and reminds us of God's promises and his word and helps us, enables us to be strong as we face those difficult situations of life. And just as the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to strengthen and comfort us, we are called to come alongside our brothers and our sisters to encourage them and strengthen them as well whenever they are suffering and going through difficult times. There are many mature saints of God in every church who have suffered great persecution and gone through very difficult times. But through those times, they've also experienced the grace of God and the deliverance of God. And as a result, they're wonderful encouragers within the church. They're like the Barnabases of the church. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, it says. But sadly, there are many people in churches that still say, and they're walking in the flesh, they're carnal, I don't want to get involved in other people's sufferings. I just can't handle it. Folks, I guarantee you, what Paul is telling us to do here is that we do get involved with people and that we do show love, compassion, and care. You know, sometimes when you go through sufferings, you just feel all alone. And sometimes you just would just give anything just to have somebody just to come alongside you and not even say anything, but just to be there. The proverbial cry on one's shoulder, someone that you could do that to, you know. And they may not be able to take away all the pain, but they can help you to bear it. And of course, Paul gave this commandment, I believe it is a commandment, to the Galatians. He said, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's the law of love. That's what God's called us to. So Paul goes on to say in verse 6 through 7, now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings. Notice the words, it's effective for enduring the same sufferings, which we also suffer, or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Paul here, again, he experienced a lot of trouble. A lot of the things that Paul went through wasn't because of something that he had done, but I honestly believe that it was for something that God was preparing him for, something that he was going to do. And I believe that something he was going to do is minister to all of us here. Just think about all the trials that he went through, all the things that he had to endure, all the things that he had to endure in order to be able to write them down in letters, to send them to the churches, to encourage and strengthen them as well as us today. I look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Listen to what he says to Timothy. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Notice the words again. Be strong in the what? Grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Then he says, you therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So again, we see that one of the main reasons Paul writes this to the church is for us to learn to endure. Patient endurance, folks, is evidence of faith. Patient endurance also builds godly character. But if we become bitter or critical of God for what he's doing, and we rebel instead of submit to him, then the trials that are coming against us will work against us instead of for us. The ability to endure difficulties patiently without giving up, again, is a mark of spiritual maturity. That spiritual maturity, it helps you to be able to discern when it is the Lord doing a work in you, when it's the enemy just attacking you. Brother Tony Evans shared this illustration. He said, if you go to the gym and lift weights, you're experiencing a burden with purpose. If you work out with a partner or a trainer, their purpose is placing weight on you to lift. Its purpose is to develop you. The purpose of lifting weights is to build muscle. God's wanting to build spiritual muscle in you. Now, if someone took that same weight and threw it at you, the purpose would be to hurt you. That same weight causes pain, but not for the same reason. You see, the enemy is trying to hurt us constantly. But again, God takes what the enemy intends for evil and turns it around for good. Amen? And so we need to remember illustrations like that that encourage us. God has to work in us sometimes before he can work through us. And sometimes it means cutting off the filthiness of the flesh. Anybody here know that surgery doesn't feel good, right? You cut something, it hurts, right? There's a certain amount of suffering involved with it. But that suffering is for our good, you see. It's really easy for us to grow in knowledge. But it's another thing to grow in the grace experience that God wants us to experience of him. Learning God's truth and getting it into our heads is one thing, but getting God's truth into our character is something different. We got so many great examples in the scriptures of people who simply lived by faith and took the suffering that they were dealt and became something great. Think about Joseph. Joseph for 13 years in prison. That's a great tribulation, isn't it? And then, as a result of all that time suffering, God turned it around. There's a consolation there. He became second ruler of Egypt, only under Pharaoh. And Joseph turned out to be a very great man, would you say? You see, God always prepares us for what he's doing in us. And again, part of that preparation sometimes is suffering and tribulations and trials. And the Lord Jesus Christ set the example for us. And when we suffer for the cause of Christ, again, we are sharing in his sufferings, the scripture says. Of course, it's not talking about suffering on the cross, because only he could do that. Only he could pay that sinless substitute price for us. But Paul is, again, referring to being rejected by people because of your faith in Jesus Christ and by identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly, that's the thing, when you begin to apply God's word and you begin to live like the word instead of the world, you're going to suffer persecution. Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Folks, this is called suffering for righteousness' sake. It's when we're faithfully living for the Lord. You can't expect to be popular, because this world is an enmity to God, and it will be an enmity to you too. But even though you're going through that suffering, the Bible says God gives more grace in James chapter 6. Chapter 4, verse 6. Folks, this is an important principle for us to remember. God has ample grace for everyone and every need that you might have. But he doesn't bestow it upon us in advance. We come by it by faith, right? You got to come, you got to ask. Hebrews 4, 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. And listen, find grace to help in the time of need. God's favor, his help in the time of need. Timely help. There's a story of a believer, it's an old story, who was arrested for his faith, and he was condemned to be burnt at the stake. The night before his execution, he wondered if he would have enough grace to become a human torch. And so he tested his courage by putting his finger into a flame of a candle. And of course it burned him. And he pulled out his hand, and he was in extreme pain. And he thought to himself, will I ever be able to face martyrdom without failing? Well, the next day, God gave him the grace that he needed for the moment and the time. And he had a joyful and triumphant witness amongst his enemies. Do you ever wonder how the saints of old were able to be martyred with a smile on their face, joy looking up into heaven? It's because the grace of God was there at that time. And I'm convinced of this for every believer. When you think about what it is to face death, I think every one of us have that fear of the uncertain. I am convinced that the grace of God will be there at that moment of death. That help that you need. Folks, I really hope that this helps us understand that verse better. If we could store up God's grace for emergency use and just use it whenever we wanted to, chances are we would be prone to trust ourselves and not the grace of God. All the resources God gives us, like, you know, money, food, knowledge, all those things can be stored up. But God's grace cannot be stored away. He gives it in the time that we need it. But one thing God's grace does do for us, it does produce a byproduct. It produces a godly character. And godly character enables us to endure the tribulations and bring glory to God. I've always liked to think of this character that is developed by God's grace as anchors for our soul. It keeps us from drifting away in fear when other things come into our lives. You see, I think about David. David is an example of that. He was able to face Goliath because the Lord allowed other tribulations in his life, and the grace of God was given to him at that moment, that time that he needed, so that he remembered those things and he was able to face Goliath without fear. Let me read 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 through 37, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine and fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, and I struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." David had a little confidence. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." What an example that is for us. So Paul goes on to say in verse 8 through 11, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, and we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the God who raises the dead, who delivers us from so great a death, and does so deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many." See, Paul, he was just like us. There are times he had despair. There's times where he had unbelief. And I'm sure he didn't understand it all. There's some times where I cry, God, I don't understand. Why is this happening? Like Paul, he says he prayed that affliction in his body would leave. He prayed three times. And the Lord's response was, my grace, my help, my favor is sufficient for you. Paul didn't need to fret anymore because he knew that God's help would be there when he needed it. Isn't that awesome? Just to know his help will be there. Might not be there right away when you want it, but it will be there when you need it. Same thing was true when he was threatened by mobs, threatened to be stoned or beat. God always provided the grace, the help that he needed to be able to endure. He didn't always understand why these things happened, but he grew to trust the Lord just like David did, to the point where he would state this fact that God would deliver him, does deliver him, and will still deliver him. How about you? Are you at that point yet? He was walking in faith. And you know, in walking that way, there just is a calm assurance. There's a calm assurance there. I like the story by Dr. Harry Ironside. He used to tell a story of a friend of his who went to Vienna, Austria, on a sightseeing bus trip. As they were traveling, some sheep got in the way of the bus, and they were held up. The man sitting next to his friend was annoyed by all of this because there were two sheepdogs who were herding the sheep. So this friend, a Christian, said to this annoyed man sitting next to him, "Do you know the names of these two sheepdog?" He said, "Why, no, I don't know their names." "Do you know their names?" "Yes, I think I do." He said, "What are they?" His friend said, "Well, one of them is named Goodness, and the other is named Mercy." He said, "How in the world would you know that?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you how. David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives." Now, you might not think it was goodness and mercy to have a couple of dogs yapping at you to keep you from going to the left or the right. But in God's mercy, he keeps us maybe going from going into a situation that would be dangerous for us, a difficulty. There's always a purpose in God keeping his hand upon us and allowing sometimes inconveniences and difficulties to come against us. Remember Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant that we were burdened above measure so that we despaired of life. But again, like we said, all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. These things come into our lives to test our faith and to increase our faith. J. Vernon McGee told a story about this subject as well. He said, "If you were as old as I am, you remember a fable we used to have in our readers in school. The sun and the wind were having a contest to see who was the stronger. There was a man walking down the street with a coat on, and the wind said, 'I can make him take his coat off.' And so the wind blew, and it almost blew the man away. The harder the wind blew, the tighter the man wrapped his coat around him. And the sun said, 'Well, now it's my turn.' And the sun just shone down so warm and nice, the man took his coat off." You see, the sun accomplished what the wind could not. Now, generally, the wind of adversity don't blow us away, take us away. When the wind begins to blow, it's kind of rough and it's tough, but we have a tendency to turn to our Father who can comfort us. However, we are in a dangerous place when things are going too well for us. When the sun is shining, when Christians have it easy, They remove that robe of practical righteousness and they begin to compromise with the world. And this is exactly what many have done in our day. Luke 6:26 says, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." I think about this a lot because I think sometimes if things are going too well and everybody's friendly with me and what have you, am I not reflecting Jesus enough? Am I not talking to people about Jesus enough? I think about that. Because those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus and don't do the things of the way the world would do things, but do the things the way that God would have you do things, you're going to ruffle feathers. You're going to make people upset with you. Moses is an example for us. Moses, he determined that he was going to do what God's word had to say. And he was going to follow after God. He tried to base everything he did upon the will of God. But to the people of the world, the values that he was espousing now seemed like foolishness. But you know what God did? God honored his faith. Hebrews chapter 11, 24 through 27 talks about Moses. It says, "By faith Moses, when he had become of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." He really could have taken a lot of advantage of that. "He chose rather to suffer, affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches." Did you hear that? "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as him seeing him who is invisible." He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Folks, we've got to do the same thing. You may go through trials and tribulations and what have you, but look to the promises of God and allow yourself to experience the graces of God in your life that will help keep you steadfast in him. And remain steadfast to the end. And hold on to your faith, because your Bible says it has great recompense of reward. Amen? Let's bow our heads.